Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Behind the Badge, Illinois, another exciting segment sponsored by Team Hochberg. If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, give me a call, 855-56-DAVID. Go to 56david.com. We do issue closing cost credits, as Lou will attest. His daughter is in the process of buying a home to you and your family members and your staff. So if you got anybody looking to refinance or purchase a home, love to have the opportunity to have that discussion with them. Today's topic is going to be, so you want to become a police officer. We've got returning experts down Southern Illinois, Chief Bruggeman up in DeKalb, Chief Bird, and out in the North Shore, Chief Jogman. So let's start it, guys. I'll just throw it out there. I want to be a police officer. I'll just put it out there. No,
the answer is no. The answer is no. Done.
I wouldn't pass the Rorschach test. Is that it? Okay. And then the physical test, or any test possibly. So if a high school senior, okay, we're 60 days away from graduation, are there any type of educational or age requirements to become a police officer? And let's go south to north. So Chief Bruggeman, Do you have any type of age requirements to become a police officer on your force?
We do, and it's kind of important to note that majority of the state and majority of police departments are covered by what's called the Board of Fire and Police Commissioners. A lot of people act; they're appointed positions within your city, local government, and there's an act in the Illinois statute that kind of draws about lays the groundwork for what it takes to be a police officer and how to get hired. So the majority of departments in the state are usually going to use that Board of Fire and Police Commissioners and those same rules. So for us, the rules are you have to be 21. So you got to be 21 up to the age of 35 with some leeway for active duty military. So we can do active duty military for every year of active duty military, you can extend that 35 to 45. This is for new people. This is people that have never been a police officer in their entire life, okay? So you got to have no criminal convictions for some, you know, no felony convictions, and there's a lot of other things like that. But realistically, for us, if you want to be a police officer, you got to be 21. You've got to have some type of, and this is probably with the majority of bigger departments, some type of education, so, or military experience. So what we do is we'll take 2 years of college, so up to 64 hours of college or an associate's degree, or the equivalent of 2 years of military experience. So, you know, that's, you're coming out of high school, you can go into the military for a couple of years, you can go to college for a couple of years, but once you're 21, you can start applying, or actually once you're 20, you can start applying to be a police officer.
Does that include community college, or does it have to be a big university?
Most people are going to include anything, any type of secondary education.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, some departments require you to have a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree, but I'd say the majority of departments just require you to have some type of college. Now there are many departments, smaller departments, that just require you to have a high school diploma. So that is still there. So it just depends from city to city what those requirements might be, you know, and what kind of pool of applicants they want to pull from.
All right, Chief Bird, I'll throw it up to you. You got a college right in your backyard there, my alma mater, Northern Illinois University. And when I graduated back in 1988, there we had job fair, and you would put your application in and they would post jobs and companies would come out of Chicago with three or four recruiters. Is that going on, and like interview 100 kids in a day and head back home? Is that happening with your force still at Northern Illinois?
Yeah, so we have a pretty good recruitment team going between human resources, which is at City Hall for us, and then, of course, members of the DeKalb Police Department. So we don't just walk across the street, which we do. But we also go to different universities throughout the state of Illinois, actually even into Wisconsin, so, and Indiana. So any border states, we would definitely reach out to them and go to those university job fairs, Dave, just like you spoke of. And those have been pretty productive for us. So you're right. That's a big, I mean, that's where you get your biggest bang for your buck. If you really want to look at it that way, you throw a table up in the middle of the, of one of the big, not a dorm, but you know where they have their, where the common areas
Yeah, the common
in
area.
the university. So, and you try to make those contacts. So, here at DeKalb, we reduce our requirement that you could apply if you had a high school diploma. And the reason why I pushed this, it was very important to me personally, is because I wanted to give some people some opportunities, because everyone, I think we all know how expensive college is. And there are a lot of people who cannot attend college for whatever reason. A lot of different reasons out there, who people have their own reason why they can't do it. And I wanted to give some people some opportunities to at least apply, and if they come up to the standards, then why shouldn't you get that opportunity? And I know one thing I have learned is that some people who cannot afford college, who work a job and they grind it out every day somewhere. I mean, I don't know. It could be a mechanic, let's say, and he's grinding it out at, wherever he works at every day. He has an amazing work ethic. He's on time for work every day. He works hard, but he just can't afford going to college. So why wouldn't we give this guy an opportunity when he has some of the attributes that we're really looking for? So we've done that. And the best thing about it for me, Dave, is that they have to come up to our standards. Some people say, well, you're lowering the standards. No, we're not. We're letting somebody get in the door. They still have to come up to our standards. I mean, they still have to meet them. And at the end of the day, at least we're giving them an opportunity. That's all we're doing.
So
And I
previous
think,
job, so previous job experience. It's like you said,
yes.
it could be a mechanic wrenching for 2 years, 3 years.
Sure.
This isn't for me. I
Yep.
want, fixing cars. I always want to be in law enforcement. You and DeKalb view that as real life experience. Hit the 21. Let's talk. Oh,
Let's
okay.
talk. Let's give him a shot. I mean, why not? I mean, like I said, I mean, work ethic is everything in this job. Being on time, working hard, those are the things that we look for. Integrity. I mean, it's huge. I mean, like, so there's no guarantee that someone who comes out of a four-year institution is going to have all these attributes. It doesn't work that way. Some people believe it to be like this rock hard. Oh, they went to college. Yeah, okay. I know a lot of people went to college and they partied hard, man. And that's about it. So I get, yeah, not you, Chief. I'm talking about some people that I definitely could put my finger on and say, hey, yeah, that it was playtime in college for some people. So at the end of the day, I just felt like we were missing a big percentage of the community by isolating them in that way. And I just know how expensive college is. I paid for three to go, and I'm telling you, it's costly. So,
Was that like, was that way before you got to DeKalb, or when
no,
you
it was
got to
not.
DeKalb, you changed it up?
I fought for this. This is a change that I requested. Through the police fire commission, as Chief Boogerman talked about earlier, we had that installed here as well. And we went at it a couple of times. The first time, now let me explain to you just real quick. And I understand it. I had, at the time, one of the members of the on the commission was a very amazing lady. It's super intelligent, but she came up through, she was a college professor. I mean, she couldn't even fathom this, right? Because everyone she talks to probably has a master's or PhD, I mean, and nothing wrong with that, but she had never understood that, beyond that, like there are people who still have the same work ethic that you think are, that is important, but they might not have a college degree. So I was like, we have to give them at least an opportunity to come in the door. Because there are diamonds in the rough out there, I'm telling you, and you could, and they're waiting for an opportunity. And we've seen guys come through ever since then who said, "Chief, I never would have got an opportunity because there's no way I could afford college." And we gave them a shot, and they're some of our hardest workers here. I mean, they truly are. Now, if you want to go up the ranks and be promoted to sergeant, yeah, I'm gonna ask you to go get a degree. You know,
Okay.
if you want to test for sergeant, but to get you in this door. And if you want to spend the rest of your life being a hardworking police officer for 25 years and retire with a pension, I'm gonna give you a shot.
All right.
So that's why we did that.
How about you up there, Lou? So, Lou, Dave and Kirk mentioned something about Chief Brugman and Chief Byrd mentioned the fire and police commission. Are those local or is that via a state, Lou?
So I think they both chiefs spoke about a couple of different things that are in play here. You know, so there are state statutes that govern how people can become police officers. They want to have some consistency. And then there are boards of police and fire commissions that are also governed, generally speaking, by statute, but are local, right? And so each department has generally, or each community has a board of volunteers that will assist in the selection and hiring of law enforcement officers and firefighters. And that's where there could be a little difference from town to town on whether or not some of the requirements, you know, whether it's a 2-year degree, a 4-year degree, or a high school diploma. There are some differences there. So if people, young men and women, are thinking about becoming a police officer, there is no one path for sure. You know, as Chief Byrd states, we want to open the door to a variety of candidates because we want a mosaic. We want to represent our state. You know, in our police ranks, we want to kind of be representative of the folks that we're policing and the people that are out there. So, you know, I've got a guy who was an iron worker for 10 years and decided this might be something for him. He's one of the best detectives I've ever seen. It was just something that he was drawn to. So we definitely want to have a pool of applicants that become police officers that, like I said, can be a representative of our community. So every community is a little bit different in that regard, but there are some pretty there are some standards that everybody has to go through. So for those young people thinking of being police officers, they don't necessarily have to go to college. They don't necessarily have to get a degree in criminal justice. They can. We've hired people with degrees in finance. We've hired, you know, physical education degrees. So just different degrees for people who've come on board and decided that for them, this is kind of a calling. So they've got to, I guess, decide what they're interested to do in doing in their 18, 19, 20. But then there's a process that kind of starts when you're 20-ish. You start now looking at departments that maybe you're interested in. And so just to give a little kind of understanding of how it works, each police department, state police, county sheriffs, we maintain lists of candidates. And so we establish these lists of candidates by, there's a process which we'll all talk about a little bit as we go on. But essentially, we work off of these lists of candidates when we want to hire somebody. And generally speaking, traditionally, those lists would be good for 2 years. So you would go and test for, you know, go through a process of testing for maybe 4, 5, 6, 10 police departments separately, maybe make some of their lists and then be on that list. And then when a vacancy occurred at that department, they would then go through that list and call the people next online. And then a whole other process starts, which we'll get to. But that's kind of how you get your foot into the door in at a police department. So in your when you're turning, you know, in your 20s, you should start really 20 years old. You should start looking at the departments, do some research, go online. Where would be a good fit for me? It's all about fit. We want officers that will, you know, some departments are heavy into community policing. Some departments are doing different types of policing because they have different types of crimes going on. You really want to be a good fit for that organization. So do your research. And then ultimately, you'll start taking or going through processes, which start with, you have to apply. There's an application process. So each department, you can look online. There are certain websites that will tell you who's hiring it with different times, the processes. And you pick the towns you're interested in. You follow their rules. You know, I have to have an application in by this date. I have to do this A, B, and C. And then there might be a written test. Generally speaking, there is generally a written exam for each municipality. There's a power test that you have to take, a physical agility test that you have to get called a power card, a police officer wellness evaluation report. Generally speaking, you have to take that. There's a physical test you have to take before you get into the police academy. So most towns have you do it once for them to make sure you can do it. And we can talk about what that consists of here in a minute. But that's kind of the early process. You know, again, you look for the department you want to get hired at. If you meet their criteria, some may have college, some may have 2 years, some may be a high school diploma. You apply and you go through their process. And then, like I said, the power card, which we could talk about, you want to get that as well.
I got a quick question for Dave, and I'll go around the horn. So Chief Byrd, do you require your officers to live in DeKalb? I mean, is that a requirement like CPD?
Residency, yeah. Right. So, so the residency requirement, yeah. We do not. So they have a radius that's been negotiated. It's a, you know, through our a labor structure with FOP. So that's a negotiated, like I said, residency that we have in place now. So it's pretty good for them. But they're not required to live within the city limits of city of DeKalb. The chief, yes, I have to live within the city of DeKalb, the city limits. But as far as the rank and file, no, they do not. I have commanders also who live outside of the framework of the city of DeKalb. So at the end of the day, the chief is the only one that is required, at least here in the city of DeKalb, to live within the city limits.
All right, Lou, I mean, you got high rent district up there in Highland Park. I know that you live there. I did your loan, and I actually did Mindy's loan. You were just on the loan. But what type of requirements, other than you being the chief, having to live in Highland Park?
I think those days are kind of behind us. I don't think the vast majority of communities throughout the state of Illinois have a residency requirement. Certainly Chicago does.
Chicago. Yeah.
And I can think of a handful of other ones. Some towns have a take-home car program where the cars go home with the officers. And so in those towns, they clearly like to keep the squad cars in town. So there's a handful of towns that do that. But I would say the vast, vast majority of communities don't have that requirement anymore. And it's a double-edged sword. I know our officers like to be able to go to the grocery store, maybe not run into somebody that they just were on a domestic with, or maybe they arrested last week and they're out there with their family. I mean, that is a challenge, right? When you do live in the community, you're going to run into those people who you've arrested or worse, you know, and so that can be quite awkward. But I can tell you, in having lived in the communities I've served, both of them, there is a lot of gratification to being part of the community. There just is, you know, you do get to walk amongst the folks that you're serving and hear from them and just connect differently. So it's definitely a double-edged sword, but not really one of the requirements for most municipalities at this point. I think for state police, Dave, get me wrong.
Yep.
State police have to live in Illinois to be state police.
Oh, yeah. They cannot live up without the state of Illinois.
Yeah. I thought so.
They can't jump over to Indiana and get those taxes. Like Lou said, it's a double-edged sword. So because, you know, you're going to have a community that's going to be pushing for you. Like, hey, look, if you really have a vested interest, you should live here, you know, and you want to serve us, but you you don't want to live within the community that you work in. So you'll get that push from a lot of people. So, but in our eyes, we felt like, you know, we would be basically reducing, you know, the opportunities to have the best officer that we would want in our uniform by actually putting that residency requirement in place. So we extended it, Dave. So, you know, I think it's about maybe about 30 miles right now. So, and it, like I said, this was negotiated with the FOP. So, and most of these are negotiated type situations. But like Lou said, Chicago police for sure. But Chicago is a huge city. I mean, you can live on the south side of Chicago and work on the west side of Chicago, and you might not ever cross paths with somebody you arrested. It just depends, you know. So a little bit different when you talk about a big city. But when you get to the small cities, I mean, I went to the movies one time, quick story, and I got my girlfriend with me. I'm going walking down the aisle with popcorn, Dave, and some guy in the back yells out my name. I didn't know who he was. He said, "Hey, Trooper Bird." I'm like, I look back. And he said, "Hey, I got off that gun case." I'm like, "All right." You know, and then I was like, "Okay, now I got to go to movies a little further than what I thought." So it happens. Like Lou said, that's the kind of stuff that happens. It's uncomfortable, though, in some ways, because, you know, now they're getting eyeballs, you know, especially if it's a bad guy. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, this guy arrested on an aggravated UUW charge. He was a convicted felon. I mean, it was the type of guy that you probably wouldn't want knowing who your girlfriend is. You know what I mean? So or your kids. You know, imagine that. You know, so there's definitely some issues with that, and you should. And some officers are worried about that, and I understand because I went through it, so I get it.
How about Don O'Fallon, Chief?
It brings up a good, it's a little bit off topic, but like what Lou said, you're seeing a lot of changes in law enforcement hiring practices right now. And we'll talk about that as we kind of go along. But Back in 2006, we had 180 qualified applicants that tested for us in 2006. In 2022, we had 36.
Wow.
So we've seen, from when Lou and Chief Bird and Chief Jogman and I all got hired, you showing up to these testings for the police departments, and there's hundreds of people there that are fighting for this job. And it was very, very competitive. And as we've kind of gone through, it's gotten a lot harder to find these qualified applicants. It's gotten harder to find people that want to do law enforcement as a career. And I think some of that goes on, with the national sentiment, but also when the economy is really good, there's a lot of money to be made in other avenues. I mean, a great local government job with great insurance, great benefits. I think we've gotten a really good we're a really good place where pay is up throughout the state for our officers. But we're constantly trying to find new and innovative ways to bring people in. Like Chief Bird said, 30 miles. We raised ours to 30 miles as well. We can have people live in Missouri. We're 15 miles from St. Louis. So if somebody wants to live in Missouri, they're more than welcome to live in Missouri. I don't look at it as that they're not invested in our city and they're not invested in our community just because they live somewhere else. You can still find those people that have that investment in your community while they're working. Just because they go home to another community doesn't mean that they don't care about our community and that they're not going to be great police officers and great servants for us. So we're always looking for ways to try to streamline that process and get more people involved in that. Because it's a long process. And when Chief Jogman talks about this, from the process of the testing, this can be upwards to a year. When you are looking at testing for a department, because departments test at different times throughout the year, some of the bigger departments like Springfield may test every month. Some of the smaller departments may test once a year. Some of them used to test only once every 2 years. So if you wanted to work for a Highland Park and they only test once a year, then you've got to wait until that testing comes around. And then you've got to get on that list. You've got to take the test. You've got to do the interviews. You're on that list. And depending on where you sit on that list, you may or may not get called for a background or to continue with that process. And sometimes those things can take upwards of a year, 18 months. So, from a law enforcement perspective, we're always looking at ways to try to streamline that process because you, Dave, if you want a new job, Dave Hochberg, you show up at somebody's office, you give them your resume, and they might hire you the next week. It's not that easy with law enforcement. There's just a lot more of a process involved in it.
And by design. And by design. Yeah, and by design. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just gonna build upon what Chief Brugman just said and walk us through that testing and time frame by design. What does that look like?
Yeah, so certainly. So, I mean, we're talking about a position where you're entrusted with a lot of responsibility. You're entrusted to take somebody's freedom away if need be, and perhaps take a life. So, I mean, these are positions that our candidates have to be carefully vetted out to the best of our ability to make sure that they're right temperament and caliber, so we don't have the types of incidents that we see and have unfortunately seen from time to time throughout our country. We want to avoid that at all costs. We need to have the trust and relationship with our communities. So we do try to make it somewhat difficult to hire and to get the right people and to really kind of screen out people that would not be good fits for this. Even though they might think they are, there are things in place to kind of, for us to see that, yeah, they probably aren't. And to Chief Bergman's point, we used to have a better kind of ability to have a larger candidate pool to parse from when I took one of my first tests. There were 3,000 people there for, a handful of jobs. We don't have that luxury. So now we're balancing, some of the things that we've got to do, but we still don't want to lower the standards. But so the process, again, we talked a little bit about the process. So a new person looking to get involved in this business, they should start looking online, see which departments are testing, see which ones they qualify for and they're eligible for. Follow their process, apply, make the application. One of those parts of the process probably will be this power test, this police officer wellness evaluation report. There are four standards that the state of Illinois measures for your physicality or physical fitness, just essentially make sure you're able to walk through the door and build upon that in the academy. So there is a sit and reach component where you have a different matrix depending on your age and your gender, where you have to score, you know, so you have to be able to reach, touch your toes, or maybe an inch pass, or even further, depending on, you know, to demonstrate flexibility. There's a 1 minute sit up test that you've got to partake and pass. And just an example for young men in 29 year old bracket, you've got to do 37 in a minute. For young women in that same bracket, 33. You've got a bench press test, which, you know, you have to bench press a certain amount of your weight one time. So one repetition of a bench press. And again, just to give some context for young men in the 20 to 29 age group, you've got to do 98% of your weight one time, which basically is your weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you've got to do like 190, what is it, 198 to 196, somewhere around there. Yep, 196. You're the math guy, Dave. Come on.
Yep. I was waiting for you to fall down and I could break. 196.
Yeah. So 196, and for young women in the same category, you can do 88% of your body weight. So one time, and then there's a mile and a half run. And that mile and a half run, again, wants to test your aerobic capacity, your ability to go through a police academy, chase people. And so for young men in the age of 20 to 29, you need to do that run in 13 minutes and 46 seconds. Our female candidates get 14 minutes. So there's a little bit of difference between the components for, different ages. As you get older, some of those are reduced. So you can find that information online. But essentially, you want to start preparing for that beforehand, because we can all tell you stories, unfortunately, of people who really didn't prepare and didn't know that this is what they had to do, and then came and, you know, that weight, that bar crushed their chest because they just weren't ready to do it, or they get so gassed on that mile and a half, or even the sit-ups. You see people, you're pulling for them, and they're, you know, they're gassing out at 28, 29. And so if I was a young man or woman looking to get in the business, physicality is an important part of this job. And you want to start by looking up those standards and making sure you could pass those standards, because each department you apply for is going to want to know that you can. And there are different ways. Some towns we used to, each testing process, we'd give our own power test at each of our departments. So you'd be going weekend to weekend to weekend doing this to just pass, to get to the next component, which is generally a written exam. But you'd be in pretty good shape because you'd be doing all these towns and really, you know, hitting them every weekend. Now there's to kind of, again, we're looking for ways to be a little more creative to get people through the door. There are locations throughout the state that you can go and take the test once. And I think it's good for a year, and you get a card. It's called a power card. I know some community colleges up here on our north, you know, in the northern part of the state do it. Then you've got that card. So when you go make application to the police department, you just show them, I'm valid. I've got a card. I passed it. And then you're on to the next process. And, you know, the next process, like I said, is generally a written exam. And I can certainly let my colleagues talk to anything about that or the power test.
Yeah. Well, let's go down to, you know, Chief Byrd. They pass the power test.
Sure.
Okay. They go to their facility, get their card. They're ready to go. What's next in DeKalb? And then we'll ask Chief Brugman, what's next down O'Fallon?
So, yeah, so they, you know, we know they can, they're physically ready. And like Chief Jogman said, you know, you really have to prepare. You have to get to a point where as soon as you decide you want to be a police officer, you need to change your whole attitude. Your posture needs to change. You need to start getting physically fit if you haven't been doing it. Like Lou said, you got to be prepared. You cannot walk in there and think you're going to get through the academy just, I'll just get off the couch. I'm going to get in there. I know I can do this. You have to start changing your whole posture, your whole attitude, physically, mentally. You have to prepare yourself for this. It's just not something you can walk into. So yeah, you've done this. You're physically capable of doing the job. So you take the written test. In DeKalb, you have an interview process. The police fire commission, including myself, will interview each candidate. So just recently through our last cycle, I think I interviewed 35 candidates, I believe, in 2 days. So we broke it up in 2 days. And we went through them. And now, you know, it's 15 or 20 minutes, Dave. Not a lot you can learn there. I mean, you know, look, let's just be real. People can walk in here for 20 minutes and blow smoke, right? And then you either believe it or you don't. You know, it's just a small sample size of who they are, right? So they come in there, and this is my own pet peeve, and I'm going to put it out there for everyone who's listening, who is even thinking about being a police officer. You come in there prepared to win the day. You should look the part. That means you should come in there in a suit and tie. If you're a male and if you're a female, you should come in appropriate attire, you know, when you're doing an interview. I've seen so many people come in with jeans on. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, that is my own personal pet peeve. I'm just throwing it out there. If you come to the Calv and you want to interview for a job, you better be in a suit and tie. I'm telling you. Because, and if you're a young lady, be in a proper attire for a business interview, because this is a career job. I think people don't, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, this is a career job. This is a career. So you should come prepared for that. My own little pet peeve, that's my own PSA. I'm telling you. So beyond that, you know, we go through the interview process. We develop a list and it's scored from, you know, by how we felt like they did in the oral interview in combination with their written test. So we have all this. Now, they also get points here in DeKalb for military. We call them military points. So they can gain military points, kind of helps them boost them up the list, Dave, if you can imagine that. So a guy could be 8 initially on the list, and then you add his military points, and he can move up to 6, 5. It depends, you know. So then we just go through the list. We start going through. We might send the first 2 or 3 through background. So I give it to our detectives here at the DeKalb Police Department handle our background investigation. So I have a commander. I say, commander here, 3. Get started on these guys, and let's see where we go. Now, we also have the polygraphs running at the same time. So some people immediately get disqualified, Dave. I mean, they go through the polygraph, they fail, they're off the list. You know what I mean? You scratch them. So you could have a list of 35, Dave, and within a week, I mean, you could be down to 18. I mean, it just depends. So we started that whole process. Polygraph, you pass, we do a deep dive into your background. So we don't want to, it makes no sense for us to do a deep dive before we know if you can even pass the polygraph. So the polygraph is scheduled. They pass it. Yay. We go to the deep dive into your background. They find inconsistencies. One thing they know for me, if there's a lack of integrity, I'm scratching you. So we find anytime that there's way you lack integrity, you are off the board here in the city of DeKalb. We take you off. We don't even go any further. We eliminate them as a possibility to be a police officer in DeKalb. If you can make it past that, great. You get through the commander comes back to me, chief. He has 4 backgrounds. These are all good candidates, sir. All right. Thank you. I approve these. They go to a psych eval. They pass the psych eval. Yay. They go into medical. They pass the medical. Yay. They're almost there. And then they usually get, at that point, they'll get a conditional offer, Dave, after they pass that. And then they'll get sworn in as police officers, and then they'll go to the academy. So that's just how we do it in DeKalb.
All right, what about you, Don O'Fallon, Chief Brooklyn?
Yeah, very similar. But I think what's important to note is that this background. So, you know, when we take this test, when they do the interviews, and then they get put on this list, and then you go into this background, just how thorough this background needs to be for our profession. This isn't a background where you're just making a few phone calls. This is a comprehensive criminal and character background with a kind of a deep dive into all of the things where we're not just calling people. We're actually showing up at people's houses. We're doing personal interviews with family members. We're doing personal interviews with the prospective officer in conjunction with a polygraph. We're talking to neighbors. We're walking over to neighbors' houses, and we're asking questions about how they live and what they're like and how they as neighbors. We're going back to former employers. It is a lot more in depth, I think, than any other any other profession out there, because it needs to be. Because you all, you know that when you apply for a job, you're going to put down two or three professional references, and they're going to say, David Hochberg, he's amazing. Such a great guy.
Well, I don't know, but I don't know. If they've met him, I'm not so sure about that. But
so, well, that's why I put down 12 to get to two.
That's so right. That's yeah.
So one of the big things you're doing is you're doing a deep dive into those references and those personal contacts. And then when you're talking to that reference, well, give me a name of two or three other people. And then you go to them, and then you go, give me a name of a couple other people that you know. Because realistically, my job as a background investigator is to find something to eliminate you. And I don't know if anybody else takes that thing, but my job is to try to find something in your background that will, so that way you're beyond reproach. So that way, you know, we know that you are a good fit for our organization and you have the highest integrity. My little PSA right here, just like Chief Bird, is if I find out you lied on your background or in anything like that, you're done. So if you're listening to this and you want to be a police officer and you got something a little sketchy in your background, disclose it. Okay? We're all human. We know it. We know that people make mistakes. We know that people are not infallible. So you know what? Disclose it, because if I find out you lied about it, I'm kicking you out of the process 100%. And it's likely that you may not find a job, because realistically too, we all talk in law enforcement. And when you're applying for us and you're applying for another department, you're applying for another department, you're required to usually on these backgrounds to list all of the departments you applied for. So then when we go around and look and we say, hey, this guy applied for you, did you do any of our type of a background? Let me take a look at his application over there, because they signed waivers on all this stuff so we can get that. And if I find out they lied, they're done. So that's the big thing.
So you know, before I get into, after they get the job, Lou, and I'll throw it over to you to, you know, to walk us through the academy and 16 weeks and then getting into a car and going through field officer training. What type of things could, you know, since you guys brought it up, to be honest, what type of things did people not tell you that were not that big of a deal, right? Like I cheated on my, I used to borrow the quiz from Senorita Manias in high school and get really good grades on my high school exam. Is that something I got when I was up at DeKalb? I used a fake ID and got carded and got busted for using a fake ID. And, you know, all of that stuff. I got arrested in high school because I had a Jerry Maguire type of party, you know, party and got arrested because I called the cops, because people weren't leaving. I mean, those are three things in my background. Are those like so whatever, and you were young and dumb to just say, hey, you know, these are three, because back when I was, if I was 25, that was within 10 years, right? And if I'm applying to job to be a police officer, I got arrested in high school, I got arrested, man, I was a pretty bad kid. I got busted for cheating in high school, I got arrested in high school for having a party, and I got arrested in college for using a fake ID. Are those the type of things that you should disclose? Because it's really not that big of a deal, just being young and dumb. And I'll start with Kirk and go backwards.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that's, I mean, those are some of the things we come into. Some of the things with just minor drug use, okay?
Oh, okay.
Because you did a little bit, I mean, it's, you know, at one point, it was, man, if we found out you did any drugs at all, you were done. Okay, times are changing, right. You know, and there are times where people have done things when they were in high school or college. Now, if you did some hard drugs last week, okay, we've got some issues. But if something happened when you were in college and, you know, you've learned from it, and I know there are some departments that have a strict 100%, if you've ever done anything more than marijuana, we're not going to consider hiring you, okay? But I know there's a lot of departments that understand that sometimes kids you know, experiment with things and it's wrong and it's not right, but it doesn't necessarily make them a bad person, and it doesn't have a huge effect on how they are growing and their integrity moving forward. So I think that minor arrests, different things like that. I've had people lie about whether or not they've been kicked out of another process because they were embarrassed about being kicked out of a process. So he lied about even applying for the department. So if you're willing to lie about that, something that just happened within the last year, then what else are you willing to lie about? It's an integrity issue.
Chief Byrd?
Yeah, for me too, Dave. I'm with Chief Boogerman on that for the most part, like I said. And, you know, this goes back to me when it comes to drug use, is preparing to be a police officer. If you know you're going to be a police officer, wouldn't you shut that down? I mean, truly. Like, you know, at least a year out, if not more. I mean, like, you've decided you want to be a police officer. You know that when you become a police officer, you will not be able to use cannabis. So why, you know, you might as well shut that down if your intentions are to be a police officer. Because for me, it would be nothing worse for me to say, to see an application and it says, when the last time you used cannabis? Oh, last week. Well, dude, I'm like, wait a minute now. I mean, seriously. You knew you were going to be a police officer. You put your name in this hat. You put your, you know, you jumping in this bucket where you know you're not going to be able to do this any longer. So why wouldn't you, you know, if it was me, this is just me speaking, you know, humbly here. You know, if I knew I wanted to be a police officer and I was doing cannabis or whatever the case may be, I'm telling you, a year or more out, I would have said, hey, you know what? I'm done with this. I want to prepare myself to go into law enforcement. And I don't want this to hinder me in any way from being a cop. So that's what I would do. I'm just speaking for the people who are listening for us. So you young men and women, there's something to think about. I'm just giving you some advice on that. But yeah, there are some things that are very minor to me that we would, like I said, would probably wouldn't be a deal breaker for us, Dave. Like, you know, some of the things that Chief spoke about, but I tell you one thing that I do look at really seriously, you know, and you know, any type of domestic battery history or some kind of verbal abuse history like that, I look at those things. Those are important to me. And I'm going to really do a deep dive into that. And I'm lucky because I have a large enough detective division where they can really jump and get deep into this. And I expect nothing but that from them. And then I have one-on-ones with the detectives who actually do the backgrounds, because I want to see, how did you feel about it, truly? Give me your gut reaction about this person. You know, and they might say, you know, sometimes they'll give you, a background back, Dave, and it'll be like, and you can tell, it's like, hey, he's all right. Like, I don't want all right, though. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't want all right. I want someone who is going to be an amazing police officer in this department. Now, I'm not looking for cookie cutter. I don't need every guy to walk through this door 6'4", 250. I don't need that. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a quality person who has all the attributes that we're looking for, and stature has nothing to do with it. I know some, I had to have this conversation with some of our members on our police fire commission, because they look at people who walk in the door and they say, oh man, I can't really see him as a police officer. Well, what does that mean? You know, like, I mean, they come in all different sizes and shapes. So when I talk to my detectives, a lot of times I want to know, I know he passed the background and he has some minor issues, but what do you really think about the person? Is this someone you would want to work with? This somebody who you can see, you know, going into a firefight with, and somebody you can see, you know, working with you on a daily basis, you think they would support you? Would they be there for you in a time of need? Those are the things I want to hear from them. And if they can give me that, then I'll move them on through the process. But so it's a lot to it, Dave. It really is. And that's why this process takes almost a year or more, because we are doing a deep dive and we're talking to our investigators. We're asking them, what's your gut feeling about this person? Because when you put this uniform on, Dave, I mean, the responsibility is extreme. And we all know, like Lou spoke about earlier, hey, look, you can legally take someone's life. I mean, there's no profession like this, you know, where you can legally do this, where you might have to, at some point in your career, use deadly force and legally do it. So we want the right people to be in those positions, because it's a huge responsibility. And I'm not going to just offer it to anyone. I'm just not. I need someone who's going to be who's going to have their moral compass pointing in the right direction, Dave. If they don't have that, believe me, I'm not taking them.
Hey, where are these 6'4", 250 guys? Because I don't have any of those.
Hey, I got four
big enough to fit them. So
I got an offensive tackle from Southern Illinois right now upstairs.
Before I get to Lou, I just want to let you know it was either 1986 or 87. I got arrested at the Jungle Bottle Store. That's no longer around. If you want to have records, pull that. Feel free. I'd like to see what I look like with one chin back in 1986. Lou, what are some red flags up in Highland Park? We heard Chief Brogman, Chief Byrd, lying, domestic. What are you guys red flagging up in HB?
Same thing. I mean, everything that my colleagues just talked about would be concerns for us too. So, again, I know we're getting up against it, so we want to get to the next part of it, what the next step is. But, lying is the big one. Your credibility is everything in law enforcement. You are going to court and testifying, and, it's essentially when sometimes you see a crime. Now, body cameras, it is a little bit different, but, what you see, you're testifying to, you better have the utmost integrity because that's all you have in this business. And this whole process is designed, as we've talked about, to find the right people to make sure they're going to do honorable policing and fair policing. And so we put there are a lot of hurdles to getting this position, which we've talked about. Now, they'll be different at each municipality, same, but maybe different sequences. But expect to go through the power test if you're looking to get this job, a written exam for each municipality, generally speaking. You'll be on a list at some point if you pass all the components. Those components might include an interview with maybe police staff and then the police commission. And so you get on this list with the ultimate goal of getting a call one day to be sent to the academy. For us, we do a little different. We do a preliminary background on our candidates, but then when you're offered the job, we do a deeper dive. And so for us, listen, we spare no expense. We send our investigators to Texas. They will drive down or fly down to Texas if you're coming from Texas and talk to your bosses, your coworkers. I mean, we are not, just picking up the phone and taking chances. We're driving down all across the country for our candidates. And yeah, some of the things that we've seen in the past, people misrepresented the reason they've left their employment, i.e. they got fired, didn't want to share that. We find that out, and not a good look. So just again, to that point, be candid. But ultimately, all of this leads to then a job offer. And then again, for our process, we then do at that point when there's a job offer, a comprehensive psychological examination. There are a number of companies throughout the state where you'll sit with a licensed psychologist and go through a battery of exams to see if you, meet the standards that the state is looking for or a municipality, the deep dive background, a medical examination. You're going through a physical examination to make sure that all your parts are working and you can do the job because it is a physical job from time to time. And then at the end of the day, when you're offered that job, yeah, you're sworn in as a police officer and then it's off to the academy. And so the real work begins at that point. To be a police officer in the state of Illinois, you ultimately have to pass a state certification test. So it's a written test. I wouldn't say it's like the bar because it's not as challenging as the bar. I mean, there's quite a bit to, depending on who you are, it can be challenging, but there is case law. There's, all of the different things that you need to know to be a police officer, tactics, community policing elements. So it is kind of a comprehensive exam that you have to pass to be state certified in the state of Illinois. And the academy is the mechanism that gets you there. So the academy is like law school, for cops. It's where you go to learn relevant case law, defensive tactics, and how to be a good police officer, community policing, just all of the different elements that go into this bucket of being a police officer, how to de-escalate, how to work with people, how to help people. So the academy, you have to successfully complete the academy. You learn how to use your firearm in the academy, again, defensive tactics. The academy is a 16-week program right now, 640 hours. And again, there are a number of them throughout the state. Different municipalities will send their officers to with the same ultimate goal of getting them to pass that state test. But it is a 640-hour program that ultimately hopefully leads to you graduating and being a certified police officer in the state of Illinois. And once you're certified, you can go become, do the work and go back to your agency. And then you start learning the work there. And we can talk about that in a second.
All right. Well, let's go. I'm sorry, Chief Brogman.
It's important to note real quick that the academy is not anybody can just walk up and say, I'd like to go to the academy. So with the exception of a few academies that offer some spots for what they call interns, I know the academy down in Southern Illinois at Southwestern Illinois College, all the academies are basically overseen by the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. So nobody can just open up an academy. So they all have a standard curriculum. And then nobody can just walk in the door and say, I want to go to the academy. Generally, you have to be sponsored or hired by a police department to go to the academy. So it's an interesting thing where everybody else, does all their training and then gets hired. We'll actually hire you and then send you to training and pay you while you're going to training. So it's actually a pretty good deal.
Yes,
yeah, there's a nice facility up here at College of DuPage that I've spoken at. Retired Chief Newton from Lombard invited me in to just talk to the cadets about credit and all that stuff. So a fascinating. I had no idea. I must have driven by that college 4,000 times and had no idea the extensive network that they had there to train law enforcement. It's pretty impressive. All right, so let's talk about field training, guys, and then we'll wrap this up. Let's start down south in O'Fallon. You do the strength training, you get the card, you do the background checks, you guys do colonoscopies on these candidates, you give them the green light, you send them to the academy, they get their 600 plus hours or 16 weeks, then they come back. Okay, so the candidate has graduated from the academy, passes the test. So you've got a guy or a gal, Chief Brugman, sitting down there in O'Fallon. What happens? And then we'll ask Chief Bird what happens and Chief Jogman as well. And then we'll wrap it up. So what happens down in O'Fallon when you get somebody, a graduate of the academy?
Yeah, generally, and I think throughout all of policing, this is now where you learn how to be a police officer. You've gone to the academy and you've learned the basics, but you've not done anything in real life. You've not dealt with real people. You've done everything, just scenarios. So we always say that this is where you actually learn how to be a police officer in our town and police the way that we need you to police our community. So the way ours works out is it's 14 weeks. It's 2 week. It's closer to 16 weeks because we do 2 weeks of just kind of an orientation where we get people ready. It's important to know that we'll swear somebody in. And they'll go to the academy and we won't see them for 16 weeks. I mean, other than, visiting them in the academy every once in a while, but they live at the academy and then they go home on the weekends. So when they're coming to us after the academy, we haven't seen them for 4 months for the most part, other than some of our instructors. So we'll do some brief orientation, regular city stuff, but then they'll start a three-step process. Well, each one lasts about a month, where they work with a different field training officer for each one of those months and then gradually work up, where they're not even driving the first couple weeks. And then they learn how to drive. I guess they know how to drive, but they learn how to drive a police car and they're operating at maybe 25% of the workload. And then to step two, where they're operating at 50 to 75%. And then at step three, where they're handling 75 with the goal being at the end of those 12 weeks to be handling 100% of that workload with that field training officer. And then for another 2 weeks, we call a shadow period, where that police officer actually just is either in plain clothes, the field training officer, or or they're following them in another car and going on their calls and just making sure. And that's really where the rubber meets the road for us. The majority of people will pass the academy. The academy is somewhat difficult, but it's not really where we don't really, I don't want to say fail people out of the academy. Most people will pass the academy, but where the rubber meets the road is when you get to be on field training and you get to interact with our community, interact with people. And that's where we find whether or not you're going to be a good fit for our organization. So it's kind of hard. We've already invested all of this time into you, trying to get you hired, and then 4 months while you're at the academy, and then we're going to do everything we can to push you through and make you successful in those next 4 to 6, 4 months And sometimes it doesn't work out. And sometimes we have to part ways. And that's always a tough, tough decision, because at that point, we may have 8 months, 9 months where we've been paying you as a police officer and you've done absolutely no work for us, you know, other than driving around with somebody. So that's a difficult decision, but a very important decision to have. So,
Chief Bird, take it from there, bud.
Yeah, so just like Chief said, I mean, you know, we spend all this money for you, hoping everything works out for us. You know, I can, you know, you know, like you said, the academy, I know, Lou, we all know, like when we started, I mean, I went to the academy in the 80s, and it was different. I had a guy who I got to use the bathroom at maybe 2 a.m. or something, and there was a guy packing up his stuff, and he left in the middle of the night. He's like, this ain't for me. He walked out, you know, and I was like, man, I was like, where are you going? He's like, this ain't for me. He's like, I'm not doing this. And he walked, packed his stuff up, 2 a.m. He walked out of State Police Academy. There was a trooper who was at the desk. He didn't say a word to him, kept his head down. He's like, I could care less if he leaves. He's like, we don't stop anybody from walking out that door. If they want to walk, they go. You know, he's like, so it was just, and I was like, wow, okay. So, and those days have changed. I mean, like, of course, it's not an easy program, but, you know, the odds of you getting somebody walking out in the middle of the night, those probably doesn't happen anymore. So, but, you know, one of the things we do is similar to the same thing. We, you know, they graduate, they get back here. We basically try to run them through different officers through the FTO program, field training officers, field training program. We try to run them through different officers because sometimes, let's just be real, I mean, you could have a personality conflict. You know, sometimes guys just don't jive, and I get it. So we try to, you know, we give them 3 weeks with, let's say, with you, Dave, you got them for 3 weeks. I'll take them for the next weeks. Kirk takes them for 3 weeks, and then Lou takes them. I mean, we just kind of rotate them so everyone can kind of get an idea of who this person is. And if there is a personality conflict, we're not weighing, you know, his whole career on one personality conflict. We got other officers who can say, yeah, they just don't get along. I get it. But they're doing the job. It's okay. So when we get here, you know, there's so, you know, and I think Kirk spoke about this too, is that there are nuances for every department. You know, it's not like, well, and I don't know, when I first came back out, they're like, hey, man, you just went to the academy. When I was a young trooper, they was like, yeah, we don't do that in Chicago. I was like, okay, all right. So I had to be taught the Chicago way, how to work for the Illinois State Police in Chicago. It was different than what the troopers were doing in Southern Illinois. So it's the same thing here in DeKalb. There's just certain nuances that are just a little different. So, but they have the basic. They have the basic foundation. That's all we need them to have. And then we mold them when they get to the field training program. Now, sometimes, Dave, it doesn't happen often. Some people can expedite the process. So you can have an early release on the FTO program. Now you got to be on point all the time. And then you might be able to release that person early. It doesn't happen often. But there are times when someone is so polished that you can release them early. And that means they can make the impact. Because truly, you don't get the impact, Dave, until that officer is on solo patrol and alone and can do jobs and can take jobs by himself. That's when you really feel the impact at the police department. So, you would like to get them out early. But like I said, it doesn't happen often because you don't want to risk someone going out too early and not being prepared for everything that's going to be in front of him as a police officer. You know, so many landmines out there that they have to learn to navigate. So, but let's say they get through the process. We say, hey, you know, the FTO say, Chief, he's ready for solo patrol. Great. He made it through the FTO training program. We put him on solo patrol and we evaluate him for the rest of his year. So, you know, and then they get released after a year, they get their year of probation. Is like, you know, they get anointed. Hey, you're good to go. And then at that point, they're like every other rank and file police officer here at the police department. But until they get that year on, they're still being evaluated on a regular basis. So although They might not have an FTO in their car. We're still doing biweekly checks on them, and sergeants are constantly reviewing their reports, even more than they would someone who's been on the job, let's say, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So they're getting that they're getting it once over, and they're getting it twice over. So that's kind of how we handle it here.
Before Lou talks,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kirk.
Before Lou talks, a real quick story about how you're really not ready to be a police officer when you come out of the academy. And I'll just say I've got a picture up on my back wall here. The very first guy I arrested on FTO, his booking photo when we took Polaroids. And I remember fingerprinting him and being so nervous. And he looked at me and he says, "Hey, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Let me show you how this is done." He'd been fingerprinted so many times that he helped me with his own fingerprinting. So, you know, at that time it was 12 weeks in the academy. But, you know, these new officers, they're not used to this. They're not dealing with people on a regular basis. So sometimes they need a little bit of help. That's Chief, what that FTO process is for.
Hey, Chief, I know you and Chief Jogman can relate to this. Dave, they always know the rookies. When I say they like, oh, he's new. He like, it's nothing worse than somebody points to you saying there's the new guy. You know, and I mean, I would make a traffic stop and they would be, "Oh, you must be new." Like, well, yeah, I am. I mean, it's just funny. It's so true, though. Like Chief said, that they can point you out in a heartbeat. They know the new guys.
All right, Chief Jogman, wrap it up, buddy.
All right, as we take it home, 2 points of clarification. So, number one, we do not do colonoscopies. So, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody away. So, you know, we do not do that as part of the medical exam. And number two, I know Chief Brueggemann mentioned staying over at the academy as the Chief Bird. There are some academies where it is like the military and it's boot camp and you sleep there and eat there and then leave maybe for the weekends. But there are other academies as well that are a little more conducive to family life, that like Suburban Law Enforcement Academy, it's like school. You go there Monday through Friday, but you leave at the end of the day and go home. So don't let that scare you off. If you've heard either that, there's a fit for everybody.
Yeah, CPD goes home every night. So
right, CPD does too. So there's academies, you know, depending on where your department sends you. So that's something to consider too when you're applying. So at the end of the day, all of this conversation, you know, hopefully helpful for people out there that are looking to get a job in law enforcement. I hope also, I think we all hope that, you know, our residents hear that it is a comprehensive, what we do is thorough. It's not fail-proof. You know, unfortunately, we do see officers that get through, and then we have to deal with them differently, you know, on the department, either through discipline or termination if they're not meant to be. But the whole intent of this is to find the right people to do the job honorably, serve nobly, represent their community in, you know, the utmost way. One of the things we do all the same things with our officers that come out, you know, after the academy. We have a mentor program. So we assign one particular officer to kind of liaise with that candidate throughout the field or throughout the academy and field training. So they have one good, you know, contact that they can call if they're struggling, questions. And we've seen that really be helpful. But, you know, one takeaway is just for people to realize in this crisis that we've got right now with hiring, you know, when you're 9 officers down, 10 officers down or more, look at this process and look at why we're concerned as law enforcement executives about where we might be heading. If I have an officer retire today and leave and say, you know, I've done my 20, I'm done, I will not have that replacement for 9 months, 10 months, as long as everything goes right with the academy, field training, background, the hiring process, I will not have somebody back in that squad car for 10 months. That means that's one less person out on the street. And if that happens with 3 people, 5 people, you can imagine what an impact on public safety and on each individual department that can be. It's not like we can just hire somebody and say, here's your 2-week training, go forth and do good things. There's too much at stake for that. And so that is our challenge right now in law enforcement, something that we've not seen, you know, and that's why we're extremely concerned with the lower numbers and people not wanting to do the job because of maybe the rhetoric or all the different things that are happening out there and leaving earlier and not doing 25 years, leaving right at 20 or leaving earlier. So a great conversation, gentlemen. I enjoyed it. Brought back some memories, brought back some PTSD on my end from my academy. I went to Chicago Police Academy, and I can remember some defensive tactics things that really made it real to me. I had one of my instructors, Jim Marsh, walked up to me, pulled me out of the group, and had me stand in front of everybody. He did something with his finger. He flicked the back of my neck, and I didn't know who I was for like 10 minutes after that, just to show that it doesn't have to be this overt force. But it was an amazing experience because I really didn't know who I was for like 10 minutes. But you get called out, and you know, you just push through it. It teaches you how to be resilient. And I remember those moments from 1993 still to this day. So great conversation, everybody.
So in closing, if a listener or a viewer wants to learn more about becoming a police officer, would you recommend them to go to O'Fallon Police, DeKalb Police Department website, the Highland Park Police Department website, ISP, Illinois State Police, or the ILACP? Is that where you recommend, you know, a quick reference point after listening to this?
Any and all of those, Dave. Any and all of those. I mean, truly. I mean, you can go individually. Yeah, Illinois Associate Chiefs of Police, great place to go as well. I think we have Blue Line, which is, you know, they, I mean, any of the glass doors, any of those places. If you put in law enforcement, I mean, you get so much information. But
okay.
I mean, we have a recruitment video here in DeKalb. I would love, you know, it's on our Facebook page. It's on our webpage. You know, they can easily take a look at that. A lot of information out there to grab. But, I mean, we love our website. So we hope people, we expect them to come read about us. If you're planning on applying for us, you should know who we are. So that's what I would do. Yeah,
you can go to any department, David. You know, if you live in a community, just reach out to your department. And if for whatever, most departments have recruitment teams. And if they don't, go online, look for a website that looks friendly for the community that's near you, and reach out. I'm telling you, you'll get a good response from the recruitment team. We'll do ride-alongs for people. Put them in the car. Hey, come ride with us to see what it's about, to make sure it's something you want to do. It's pretty easy. You just have to take that first step and reach out.
I want to thank all three of you, Chiefs, for another amazing episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, give me a call, 855-56-DAVID. Go to 56david.com. It extends not only to you and your staff, but also your family. Download other podcasts. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Thanks, Chiefs. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, everybody.